I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our service tonight, despite what looks like inclement weather on the outside. As my good brother was telling me, this is nothing compared to what we regularly get in Michigan in the winter. So you ought to feel blessed. But I'm grateful to God for the preservation of my life. I really am. And my physical fitness so that I could come to this place to speak for him. And I'm delighted to see you. It tells me that God has been with you and preserved you, whether you were aware of his presence or not. That's a good thing about God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:45, "For he maketh his sun to rise on whom? The evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." There is a wino somewhere in Baltimore, and God has his hand over that man. There's a streetwalker somewhere in D.C., and God has his hand over that woman. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Now, sun represents life, and sendeth rain. Rain represents life on the just and on the unjust. Say amen for God. If God only blessed holy people, very few people would be blessed. Now, God wants us holy. Don't misunderstand me. I am not promoting sin and iniquity and contamination of the soul. I am simply saying that God is so good that he blesses even those who rebel against him. But he blesses them so that they might be softened and touched by his goodness. I think it was Abraham Lincoln or someone who said the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them your friends. And then they see, and that's what God tries to do. He tries to make sinners his friends by bringing them to himself. Let's bow our heads and pray. Holy Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for your watch care over us. I thank you, dear God, for the persistence of your love. You are so stubborn, dear God, in your desire to save us, that you extend your mercy, and you extend it, and you extend it. Not to give us one more day to sin, but one more opportunity to come to you. Father in heaven, if we have offended you today in whatever way, we ask you now, forgive us. With the forgiveness, Father, give us power to avoid what we did that caused offense in heaven. Particularly me, cleanse me, dear God, because my job is to deliver the word, the pure word. And I want to be a clean vessel. Wash me right now as I stand. Remove every stain and spot. And Father, take possession of my mind. Speak through me. Let your voice be heard. Let Christ be seen. Bless those watching via the internet, dear God. Touch them in a very real way. Bless them, Father. We thank you for modern technology that allows the word to go so far so quickly. Now, dear God, I humble myself before you, and I ask you to speak through me again, that your name may be glorified and your loving people blessed. I offer this prayer from my heart. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject for tonight, let there be light. What did I say? Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1. You can say it without looking. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at verse 2 again. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Light is the result of the creative act of God. God created light. First day of the week of creation. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So light is the result of God's creative act. And God saw the light, that it was good. And I've told you before, He did not say that about the darkness. He saw the light, that it was good. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So the Bible tells us God divided the light from the darkness. All right. And we learn the light was made by God. The darkness was there. Let's go to verse 14 of Genesis 1. Our subject, let there be light. And God said, let there be what? Light where? In the firmament of the... And let them be to divide what? The day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to do what? Give light upon the earth. All right. That was the function of light to illuminate the earth. Sun, moon, stars. And so we're introduced to light, how it was made, and one of its functions, or several, day and night, seasons to illuminate the earth. Now, I've told you before, I'm sure I have, that the physical creation has spiritual parallels. For instance, you look at verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. In the physical separation of light and darkness, we can understand God also requires, at the spiritual level, the separation of light and darkness. I said that too quickly, let me slow it down. Just as God separated light from darkness at the physical level, because light is in some way, I don't want to say a physical thing, but light is made up of protons, individual protons. A proton can be weighed. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Remember, of a proton. So this is physical creation. God separated light from darkness. Spiritually, God does the same thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. We'll read verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Our subject, let there be light. Excuse me, it is now 8:15. Thanks again that I have been allowed to get up a little early, which means I will reward you by releasing you early. What book did I say? 2 Corinthians, what chapter? 6, what verse? 14. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What's the answer? None. So God is saying light and darkness must have no communion. Spiritually, they represent two different things. Let's get a clue. Exodus 10, reading from verse 21. Exodus 10, reading from verse 21. Let there be light is our subject. Book number 2, Exodus chapter 10, reading from verse 21. We're looking at one of the 10 plagues that God sent on the Egyptians in an attempt to get them to let the Israelites go. Exodus 10, from verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Darkness now is one of the curses, one of the plagues. Are you with me? Next verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place 3 days. Now finish the verse. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. God's people had light while the rest of the nation was plunged into darkness. There is a difference spiritually. Light represents God's favor. It represents the life that God will have us to live. It represents truth. It represents the very life of God. It represents righteousness. Darkness is the very opposite. And so the pagan, the heathen Egyptians, they were plunged into darkness, but in all the dwellings of the Israelites, there was light. So we have a big, big clue. Darkness represents that which is contrary to God. Light represents that which is favorable in God's eyes. It represents the life that God would have us to live. Light. Let's go to Matthew 5. We'll read from verse 13. Verse 14, I should say, of Matthew 5. Let there be light is our subject. Matthew 5, reading from verse 14. And when you have time, read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. The most powerful sermon ever preached. And by the way, Jesus spoke it to the disciples, not to everybody. What he said in these three chapters is not for everybody. It's for those who accept Christ, because that kind of life is only possible for a converted person. Talk about turn the other cheek when someone slaps you. That's only for a converted person. So when you read those three chapters, remember, Christ is talking. Now the multitude overheard him because they followed him around, but Christ was directing his remarks to his people, meaning that the life God requires of his people is vastly different from what non-believers live. Matthew 5:14, read with me. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Finish that next verse. Let your light so shine before men. Why? 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 No, why? See, why do men need light? Because they are in darkness. Spiritually. And so Jesus handpicked some people, 12 men and others who were not mentioned in the Bible, and he says, look, because of what I've given to you and what I've showed you, you are the light of the world. Let men see your light and glorify me. And so light is the life the child of God must live. And one of the reasons for that life is to show the unbeliever how to live. Now, you missed what I said. If you miss it, you miss just about everything. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. When we try to live like the world, we don't show them light, we just reflect their darkness. And that's a crime against humanity. Too many Christians want to be like the world. No, God calls us to show the world how to live. And when we try to be like the world, we're depriving them of an example of godly living. And so Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Remnant is a light in Silver Springs. Your church, wherever you're from, should be a light. Where it is mine in Michigan, Ypsilanti, should be a light. I don't mean the bricks and the woods, I mean the people. Should be a light to the world. Now, so we see light as having God's favor, darkness not. We see light as representing the life God would have us to live, darkness the life from which we would call people. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, let's see what else light does. We read from verse 1. Ephesians 5, a beautiful epistle written by Paul. Ephesians 5, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. If you don't mind, read it with me. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Now carefully, verse 3. But fornication, come on, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness nor fish nor. Now stop. Neither, read that again. Filthiness nor talking nor jesting. So what is jesting? Joking around. Now you may say, ooh, that's extreme. But sometimes, and I've done this, don't tell anyone. When I was growing up, we would spend hours just jesting. Just seeing who can embarrass whom, who can have a comeback, a quick saying. We just spent hours, that was our culture. As a boy, growing up in Barbados. The Bible says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, come on, unclean person, come on, or covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So we have verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, a list of things. Give me one word for that. Sin. Or darkness, yeah, but sin. Look at verse 6. Read for me. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, stop. What are these things? What we listed in 3, 4, and 5, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, because of these things, finish verse 6 now, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of, alright, they are identified as what? The children of disobedience. Now, think with me. I've said it before. By not reading microscopically, we miss so much. And then we blame God for not explaining the Bible to us. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Then all those things listed in 3, 4, and 5 may be described as what? Disobedience. Yeah, sin, but disobedience, which is the long version of sin. A longer word for sin is disobedience. They are called not the children of fornication or jesting, which they have done, but it's just grouped under disobedience. If that's clear, say amen. So the children of disobedience and the wrath of God will be poured out on the children of disobedience. Now, let's pray again. Father, continue to speak through me, dear God, please. Directly, clearly, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look at verse 7. Read verse 7. Be not ye partakers with, in other words, what does that mean? Don't do what they do. Keep reading. For ye were sometimes, but now are ye light in the Lord. Stop. What is Paul saying? You used to do that, yes. But he doesn't say, for ye were sometimes disobedient. What does he say? For ye were sometimes. Because darkness is the same thing as disobedience. Are you not with me? I'm talking to myself. Listen again closely. Listen microscopically. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Verse 6. For because of these things, all the sins listed in verses 3, 4, 5, cometh the wrath of God upon whom? The children of disobedience. Now, verse 7 says, be not ye partakers with them. Do not do what the children of disobedience do. For ye were sometimes darkness. You used to be a part of that. But he calls it this time darkness, which means that darkness is the same as disobedience. Then he says, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So in verse 8 we have children of light. What do we have at the end of verse 6? Children of disobedience. But the opposite of light is not disobedience. The opposite of light is what? Darkness. So darkness and disobedience are the same thing. Who's lost? Let me say it again. There's one group of people, two groups of people in that passage. One in verse 6 is called what? Look at the end of verse 6. Look. The children of disobedience. Look at the end of verse 8. Read it. The children of light. So the opposite of light is disobedience, which is darkness. Are you with me? All right. Now let's go to verse 9. What does it say? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What are the unfruitful works? Filthiness, jesting, fornication, whatever else we read in 3, 4, and 5. They're called they have no profit. Anything that takes you to hell is unfruitful and unprofitable, if you think with the mind of God. So Paul calls them the unfruitful works of darkness. Read verse 12. Nice and clear. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now read verse 13 carefully. For all things, come on, that are reproved, are made manifest. Stop. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Okay. So light has a function now. Not just to show us where to walk and get rid of the darkness. What does Paul mean by some things are made manifest by the light? Sin is exposed by light. So Paul is saying, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever exposes something is light. When I was a little boy, we didn't have street lights. You see people walking the street at night, you just see a light moving, it's a searchlight. No one attacked anybody, just walking through the country, a searchlight. Say, hi, you pass in the dark. That's it. You see, I wish those days could come back. But the light was to show you where to step. Are you following me? The Word of God is light that shows us how to walk. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the Bible says, but those things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever exposes sin is light. But there's only one thing that exposes sin. Tell me, there is one thing that exposes sin. That's the law. Which makes the law the brightest light. Let's look at the law as an exposer of sin. Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans 3, reading verse 20. Romans 3, verse 20. Our subject, let there be light. 8:30 on the dot. Romans 3, verse 20. When you found it, say amen. Read for me, what does it say? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Finish the verse. For by the law is the knowledge, I only know this is wrong, it is exposed as wrong by the light of the law. There is no other way to know sin. So the law is the brightest light one can use to expose sin. Go to Romans 7. Romans 7. Let's read verse 7. Let there be light is our subject. Romans 7, verse 7. Not verse 7, sorry. Verse 7. When you found it, say amen. Read with me, what does it say? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Paul is saying, no way. The law isn't sin. Now keep reading. Nay, I had not known. Come on. But by the law. Stop. I had not known sin, but by the law. Keep reading. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not. Paul is saying, the only way I found out what I was doing was wrong, because the light shone upon me by God's law. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4, let's read verse 15. Read with me. Because the law worketh wrath. Come on. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Remove the law, sin disappears. You turn off the light, the cockroaches disappear. Because you can't see them. Are you with me? Gone. You turn on the light, they scatter. Because they have been made manifest. Go to Romans 5. Let's read verses 12 and 13 of Romans 5. Read with me. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, verse 13, carefully. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, come on, but there's no law. So we have four verses, Romans 3:20, Romans 4:15, Romans 5:13, Romans 7:7. Only the law makes sin visible. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 5. Let's read verse 13. Ephesians 5, verse 13. Read with me, what is it saying? But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. In other words, all that's listed in verse 3, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Those things are exposed by the light of the law of God. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, verse 4, they are exposed as sin by the law of God. For this ye know, verse 5, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, that is exposed by light. And the light that exposes it is the law of God. The brightest light that can shine is the light from the law of God. It makes sin manifest. But I need to add, let us go and see what happened outside the Garden of Eden in Genesis 4. Let's go to Genesis 4. Let's take a look at Abel and Cain. We read from verse 1. Our subject, let there be light. 25 to 9. We have Genesis 4, reading from verse 1. Then you found out, say amen. Read with me. I keep begging, but you start the first six words, then you die a quiet death. Genesis 4, reading from verse 1. What does it say? And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Keep reading. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Come on, keep going. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Stop. Well, read verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Now, well, let's finish it. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Read verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, come on, while they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The question is, why did Cain kill Abel? It has to do with darkness and light. Why did Cain kill Abel? Genesis 4 does not specify. We go all the way to 1 John 3 to find out why. 1 John chapter 3, reading verse 11 and 12. And this has everything to do with light and darkness, as I hope to make clear. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 and 12. 1 John, thank you for being sharp. God bless you. You're on your toes. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that what? We should love one another. Now read carefully, not as Cain. Don't love the way Cain did. He really didn't love. Who did what? And did what? Slew his brother. Now, and wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Finish the verse. Because his own works, and his brother's, right. Now, why was Abel killed? He was obedient to God. What kind of life did he live? A life of light. But the light of his life did what to Cain? Showed him up. The life of Abel showed up Cain and rebuked Cain, even though Abel never spoke a rebuke. And so darkness reacted and killed him. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. He was darkness, the brother was light. Now look at Jesus. John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Have you ever wondered why the ministry of Christ was only 3.5 years? They could not take anymore. They couldn't take it. Light exposes darkness. It's the natural function of light. And the natural function of darkness is to react, to extinguish that light. Put the light out. But what I'm doing should not be done in the light. Turn it off. Now, I'm sure you've probably encountered this. Your friends know you don't smoke, and they ask you, you think you're better than me? No, I didn't say that. I just don't smoke. Or you're in high school. You don't cuss. You don't do whatever. And your friends feel offended. Who do you think you are? Miss Goody Two Shoes? No, I just don't do that. They are offended and convicted and rebuked by your righteous life. And so you go to dinner, and here's someone eating a vegan or a vegetarian meal, and you feel uneasy with your pork chop. The person has said nothing to you, nothing. But you feel uneasy because you are rebuked by that. Light rebukes by the very fact that it is light. Which means a Christian life is a dangerous life to live in a sinful world. Because the closer you come to God, the more you place your life at risk. Are you listening to me? As it was for Christ. You know why we're not persecuted? We don't live the right life. That's why life is so easy and soft. We don't live the way we should. If we just listen to these words from Ellen White, Christ Object Lessons, page 69, paragraph 1. What did I say? Christ Object Lessons, page 69, paragraph 1. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. It has not been reproduced, and so the world does not react the way the world normally reacts. But the same way they tried to kill Christ because of his righteous life. We read last night, I believe it was last night, John 15, 25, they hated me without a cause. That's the way the world reacts to light. I don't need a cause. I hate you because you're light. And so whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And nothing exposes sin like the law of God. And a person living in darkness is living contrary to the law of God. The law of God shows us what a righteous life is. Now, the life of Christ is no different from the law of God. Let me say that again slowly. The life Christ lived is the law of God. because his very presence rebuked. You observe the Bible carefully. All the demon manifestations are concentrated in the Gospels. A couple in the Acts, but they're constant. Why do you think that is? Not in the Old Testament or after Christ rose, in the Gospels. Because that's when righteousness came down the highest, Christ himself. And when he came, the demons could not take it. They started crying out. Christ would show up in a church and a demon cries out. They couldn't take that righteousness. The light was exposing them. Christ didn't come to expose the demon because Christ was human. And he lived as a human being. He didn't know everything as a human being. That's why at the grave of Lazarus, he said, "Where have you laid him?" He didn't know. As God, he knew everything. As a human being, he did not. So he walked into a synagogue. A demon cried out. Why? Because righteousness was too close to that demon. The life of Christ is the law of God. Now, our scripture reading tonight, ye are the light of the world. What's my conclusion? Our lives should be the law of God in action. What is sin? The transgression of the law. What does darkness represent? Sin. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is only poured out on disobedience or darkness. Same thing. And so tonight, God says to us, ye are the light of the world. It is a tremendous responsibility. It is the highest calling God can issue to a man or a woman. I want you to reflect my light. You see, there cannot be two saving lights, two righteous lights, just one. That's the life of Christ, the life of the law. Which means the life of Christ must be your life and mine. You didn't get that. My fault. Let me try again. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, don't turn, just listen. Let this mind be in you. Come on, say it now. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, everything comes from the mind. The Bible does not say, let a similar mind. Christians do not understand that the life Christ lived is the life we must live if Christ lives in us. When Christ lives in us, truly, after we've surrendered to him 100%, then that is the light that rebukes the world. Because the standard for heaven is the life of Christ. So if I enter because the life of Christ is in me. Ye are the light of the world. It's a high calling. And most people say, call somebody else. Because this is too high. The sacrifices are too great, and they're great. You give up the world. A lot of people give up the world the way Lot's wife gave up Sodom. This is the world, this is the kingdom of God, and they give up the world this way. That's how they're heading to the kingdom. And that's heaven. Are you following me? That's not the way to go to heaven. Are you following me? You give up the world, you turn. Lot's wife got out of Sodom. This was deliverance, this was Sodom. That's how she was leaving. Became a pillar of salt. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now this world is a house. We are the light. And so Revelation 12:17 says, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. They have the light that exposes sin. With that light, they can say, Sunday is not the Sabbath. With that light, they can say, you cannot have two wives. With that light, they can say, thou shalt not steal, return that tithe. With that light, they can say, honor thy father and thy mother. With that light, they can tell rulers of nations whatever they need to be told. With that light, they expose sin. And in that same exposing of sin, they reveal the life that God would have us to live. Tonight, God wants you and me to be the light of the world. He invites us, reflect the life of Christ. Not just a decent life, atheists are decent people. But a godly life, the very life of Christ. Christ in us so fully that what was said of Christ will be said of us. In John 14, verse 11, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. It is he working through me. So I close tonight by asking you from my heart, in person and via the internet, you can respond in your own way. How many will accept God's appeal and invitation? Come, I want to make you the light of the world where you are. Can I see your right hand? Where you are, stand up with me. Where you are. He doesn't call you to be the light of Botswana. That's not where you are. You're in Silver Springs. You're in your home. You're on your block. Be the light there. Light and darkness are two opposite things, my beloved friends. Two opposite things, and when light looks like darkness, it is no longer light. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear God, for the tremendous challenge to be the light of the world, a challenge made possible only by the indwelling Christ, so that it is he that lives out the life in us as you lived out the life in him, and he testified to that. Father, remove our taste for the world and give us a love for the spiritual things, that the life we live may be a light to those who see, that they may begin to understand this is how God wants me to live. I ask you, dear God, open our eyes, sharpen our understanding, that we may see the law as flashing light. The only thing that exposes sin, the law of God. And that law was perfectly reflected in the life of Christ, meaning the law of God and the life of Christ are the same. So must it be with us, dear God. And so I ask you, Father, as we stand in your presence, fill us with a dislike for the world. As the Bible says of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 1, verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It can be expressed, thou hast loved light and hated darkness. Give us this mind, Father, that we may love and cherish light, righteousness, obedience, and turn our back on darkness, disobedience, and sin. Let us live with the consciousness we are the light of the world. And so say to us now, Father, let there be light, and let that light spring in our hearts and continue to shine. As we leave, take us safely, dear God. Let us conduct ourselves in the remaining hours of this evening as children of light. Let those around us see that light. Bring us back tomorrow, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.